Scientists have found telltale signs of Alzheimer's disease in the language used by British writer Iris Murdoch in her final novel. Murdoch wrote Jackson's Dilemma just before she was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. The diagnosis was confirmed by autopsy after she died in 1999. Researchers in London used specialized software to analyze the words Murdoch used in that final novel, comparing them with two earlier works. They found that while her grammar and sentence structure remained much the same, her vocabulary shrank dramatically in that final work. Dr. Peter Gerard is lead author of the study.
I had the idea that looking at the 40-year archive of written output over her novel writing career may give some clue as to when in that 40-year writing career the first signs of Alzheimer's disease were beginning to kick in. And I puzzled for a long time about how to do this. And I then had the idea that these techniques of textual analysis that in a previous life as an ancient languages student at Oxford I'd used on texts in different languages may be of use, and they enabled me to do the analyses that I carried out.
You've brought in some excerpts from Iris Murdoch's work from the beginning of her career and the end of her career. Let's listen first to an excerpt from her first book. This is Under the Net, which came out in 1954.
When I saw Finn waiting for me at the corner of the street, I knew at once that something had gone wrong. Finn usually waits for me in bed or leaning up against the side of the door with his eyes closed. Moreover, I'd been delayed by the strike. I hate the journey back to England anyway, and until I've been able to bury my head so deep in dear London that I can forget that I have ever been away, I am inconsolable.
Okay, and now Jackson's Dilemma. This would be Iris Murdoch's last novel, came out in 1995, just before she was diagnosed with Alzheimer's.
Edward Lanyon was sitting at his desk in his pleasant house in London in Notting Hill. The sun was shining. It was an early morning in June, not quite midsummer. Edward was good-looking. He was tall and slim and pale. He was very well-dressed. His hair, slightly curling, thickly tumbling down his neck, was a dark golden brown. He had a long, firm mouth, a rather long, hawkish nose, and long, light brown eyes. He was 28.
Now, to my ear, that second passage is much more straightforward, shorter sentences, clearer language, maybe. I just wonder whether you couldn't chalk that up to a writer's choice over the course of her career to simplify things, to make things a little more straightforward.
Well, that's certainly one explanation for it, and I think that's where the previous research on Alzheimer's disease was so important in interpreting our findings, because what that enabled us to do was to come at this analysis with predictions about what we might find if we looked at the results. And studies of patients with Alzheimer's disease and language deficits have shown, for instance, that their vocabulary shrinks and that their use of words becomes strongly dependent on the frequency of usage of those words in the normal speech and or normal writing. So what we might expect to see would be the use of a higher frequency vocabulary, more common words, less unusual words, and that is indeed one of the things that we found.
It's interesting in the case of Iris Murdoch, because of the way she wrote, it sounds like she offered you a very pure version of what was going through her brain translated onto the paper.
Not only a very pure version, but also a remarkable and unique archive. Instead of using a typewriter or a word processor, her writing routine would be to spend 6 months working out the plot, making detailed notes about who the characters were, what they did, what their relationships with one another were, and then perhaps up to a year writing out longhand on a pad the text of the novel, starting at the beginning and finishing at the end. And when the final full stop was added on the final sentence, she'd send the pad off to the editor. And the editors knew from experience of dealing with her that if they ever suggested any corrections or amendments, she would give them short shrift. So, as you say, what we had was the exact output of her literary effort.
Dr. Gerard, what are the practical implications of your work here? How might you extend it beyond Iris Murdoch to any number of other patients you might be working with?
I can envisage individual scenarios in which somebody who may have a written archive of letters or diaries or even speeches that have been recorded in the course of a professional life may be analysed in this way and may be a useful adjunct in terms of diagnosis, but I don't think that a technique like this would ever stand alone as a diagnostic method.
Well, Dr. Garrett, thanks so much for talking with us.
It's been my pleasure.
Peter Garrard, a neurologist at the Institute of Cognitive Neuroscience in London. He's lead author of a study that analyzed the writings of Iris Murdoch for signs of early Alzheimer's.